Hey, business building warrior, welcome to Silent Sales Machine Radio. It's just you and me today. I don't have a guest for us hopping on here. If you're new around here, you should probably know that most of our podcast episodes on this show include a guest who has used the proven Amazon course strategies that we teach around here to build a beautiful business, and they share their story. Those students typically go anywhere from having their first $10,000 a month up to celebrating a $3 million fully automated business. We've got everything in between. We love helping sellers succeed on Amazon around here. That's what we do all day, every day. We've got a Facebook group of 75,000 of us with a couple thousand success posts in it. And like I said, a couple hundred episodes of this podcast. I should say hundreds. There's probably more like 500 episodes where we've interviewed successful students. But today it's just you and me. No interview. Scroll back in time if you want to hear those. Today I'm going to talk to the new, the struggling, the people who are thinking the game has changed. I can't find anything. Anyone who's saying, I can't find profitable inventory. Anyone who's saying, oh, I looked at 100 products and none of them are profitable. People who have that kind of approach right now, or that kind of mindset, or that kind of perspective on the Amazon opportunity right now, specifically the Amazon replens, the newbie content that we teach around here. Just getting started, haven't had, let's say you haven't had your first $10,000 a month yet and you think you should have by now. What's going on? Those are the people I'm going to try to talk to today. Now, before I talk to you, keep in mind the proven Amazon course training, there's a link to it right here. It's only $39 a month. Gets you everything you'll ever need. It grows every month, new content added in, old content purged out. For example, all of our new seller training content has been recently updated, completely updated to it. Looks great. You're going through the latest and greatest modules as a new seller, especially, but we're always adding in new strategies as well. We've got content coming for Walmart sellers. We've added content for branded bundles. We're doing all kinds of interesting things for wholesale, just dozens and dozens of different strategies once you know the basics. But you got to know the basics. It's vital. If you try to jump in with both feet off the high dive, you're probably not going to make it in this business. You got to wade in nice and slow from the kiddie pool. That's what we teach around here. Take small risks, learn how things work, earn money while you're learning. Your highest odds of success are in these beginner newbie models that we teach you. And you can scale them, like I said, to multiple seven-figure businesses, as many have done, but it's work and it takes time and it takes commitment to the process we teach. But something that derails probably more people than anything else when they're first getting started is, I can't find any profitable inventory. I've heard that literally thousands of times over the past 20 years, because keep in mind, I've been doing e-commerce coaching for well over 20 years at this point. We've coached nearly 10,000 people. We've got a team of 60 coaches, all of which have built successful, beautiful businesses using the strategies we teach around here. But with that many people coached over that amount of time, I can tell you the number one question, if we were like to diagram it out and you have this nice visual in front of you of all the questions that people ask, it's, what am I going to sell? I can't find any profitable inventory. Somebody help me. That's the reason we created replens. It is the best answer to that question. I'm not saying it's the only way to make money online, obviously. I'm saying this is where we start people because, again, it's the lowest risk, lowest learning curve, highest odds of success, tiny inventory, or excuse me, investment required. It's just a nice way to wade in and see results very quickly. And again, hundreds of episodes of our podcast have featured stories of people who have done exactly that. And the opportunity is getting bigger rapidly. It's getting bigger right now. More and more people are shopping online. Half of all transactions online are happening on Amazon any given day in the United States. Amazon has hundreds of warehouses. Many of them have empty shelf space for the most popular items that people want fast. And that's the theme I'm going to go towards today when I'm talking to you about finding what you should sell. Now, if you've got any background at all selling stuff online, you know the idea is to buy it for a price that's lower than what you're going to sell it for. So your instinct is to instantly say, well, what's it selling for? So I can go find it cheaper. And that's the road you go down. Now, many businesses are successful and they've been built on that model. I'm not saying that's not a good model. I'm saying that's an unnecessarily difficult model. anytime somebody says, I can't find profitable inventory, I know that they haven't yet absorbed the lesson that I'm about to give you. Yes, I pay less for my inventory than what I sell it for. But I don't start off with, I certainly don't start off with the inventory I want to sell and go trying to source it cheap somewhere. That is just a rat race, and very few people ever win the game long-term that way. What I'd rather do, I already dropped you a hint at what I'd rather see you do as a new seller. You're struggling. If I had a way to just like kind of wipe your brain clean of all the impressions that you have of what it means to sell successfully on Amazon for just a moment and focus in on just one strategy, there's dozens of ways to succeed on Amazon. We're going to focus in on one strategy, wipe it all clean, just set it all off to the side for a moment. Every tool, every strategy, every course, every approach, every YouTube video you've watched, just set it all off to the side for just a second. We'll pick it all back up again in a minute, okay? I'm not trying to hypnotize you or anything. I'm just saying, let's set all that aside and just think about something with me for a minute. Put on your thinking cap, focus in. 2 or 3 minutes, hang with me here. This will make a lot of sense if you visualize it with me. I want you to visualize the United States on a map. Now I want you to visualize Amazon's warehouses spread out across that map. Hundreds of them, they're everywhere. Now I want you to start to think about some of the products that people buy a lot of from those warehouses. There's two kinds of people that are shopping on Amazon every day. Most of them are considering price in their decision. For example, if there's 20 sellers selling an item, and maybe it's an item you want, let's say it's a new cat litter box, I don't know, whatever, it could be whatever, and you found the one you want, and you're looking at all the sellers, because you know you can go off to the side and see, there'll be someone's winning the buy box right now, that's the one Amazon suggests that you get, but you're going to take your time, you're a conscientious shopper, you're going to see if there's any better deals. If you're willing to wait an extra 5 days, you could save $4. A lot of people shop that way. So you look at all the sellers and the dates of when they could deliver the product, and you find the cheapest possible option, even if it means you got to wait 4, 5, 6 days. A lot of people shop on Amazon that way. Maybe you do. I tend to do. Okay, that's okay. I can wait a couple extra days and save $20. Sure. I tend to shop that way. You probably tend to shop that way. But don't make the mistake of thinking that that other second kind of shopper isn't out there in abundance. Millions of people hop on Amazon all day, every day. They don't sort by price. They sort by delivery date. So let's go back to that map of the United States for just a moment that I had you visualize. You got it in your head. Every state has a handful of warehouses in it. There's inventory that's very popular spread out across those warehouses. Let's just focus on that one cat litter box for just a second, okay? That one cat litter box has a Keepa chart associated with it. If you don't know what Keepa is, you need to start learning the replens system as taught in the Proven Amazon course. There's a link at silentgym.com. $39 a month, you'll learn all you could ever possibly need to know, dozens of strategies for just Keepa alone, that one tool for finding great inventory. But let's look at the Keepa chart in your mind. Imagine it now with me. I told you, put on your thinking cap. You're going to visualize a Keepa chart for this cat litter box. Now, if you're so new around here that I'm starting to lose you with the terminology, go back and listen to podcast episode 369, where I talk about Keepa, what it is, why we love it, how we use it, why it's a necessary $20 a month tool for a lot of the strategies you're going to hear us talk about around here. But on that Keepa chart, you're going to see that there's, let's say, 100 drops per month on the Keepa chart, which means it's selling probably somewhere between 300 and 800 times a month, something like that. There's 50 sellers on this thing. Your first instinct might be, wow, I'm going to look at the buy box. That's barely break even for me at the price that I can source that thing. If I'm going to sell that cat litter box, I better find it super cheap somewhere, or there's no way I'm ever going to sell this thing, because the buy box is bouncing around, let's say, between $35 and $40 on this really nice cat litter box. And all the sellers are kind of crammed in there between $35 and $40. But I want you to look at something else. This is the piece that you're probably not considering. I've been doing my best to pound it into our community's mind over the past several months, probably over a year at this point, because it's something that we've always done for a long period of time. And we just didn't emphasize it enough, I guess, because I'm finding out how few people see this cat litter box the way I do. I could care less how many sellers are on it. I could kind of care less what the buy box has been doing recently. The only reason I want to take a look at the buy box is I now know that's my worst case scenario. Meaning, if I were to buy a bunch of these and now I need to get rid of them for whatever reason fast, probably gonna have to get rid of them somewhere in that $35 to $40 buy box window where the buy box is rotating. A lot of the repricers will help you jump in there and rotate around in that $35 to $40 buy box and hopefully increase your odds of making some sales because you're moving your price up and down along with the crowd, right? That's great. A lot of people run very successful businesses doing that, but I'm not talking about that today at all. We haven't talked about the most important feature of that Keepa chart yet. You may think I've given you all the information you need in order to make a decision. What's my buy cost? What's my profit going to be after I sell them? Can I make a profit at $35, $40 alongside all these other sellers? Yes or no, check a box, move on. That's not what's going on in my mind, though. There's another very simple thing. I'm seeing that map of the United States again. Let's pull up that map of the US. All those warehouses spread out across the United States. I'm not counting the merchant fulfilled sellers, the people selling that cat litter box out of the garage. I'm not counting them because the fastest they could possibly get that litter box to a customer, even if they live next door, the fastest they could get it to them using the shipping systems that Amazon provides is a couple days from now. That's as fast as it gets with merchant fulfill. But what about those people who happen to live near an Amazon warehouse who want that cat litter box and wouldn't mind paying a few extra bucks for, say, 2-hour delivery to their front porch? Maybe you wouldn't do that. Maybe I wouldn't do that. But there's plenty of people who would pay $50 or $60 for that cat litter box if they could have it on their front porch 2 to 4 hours from now. Those people are out there. Now, if no one's going to put their inventory into an Amazon warehouse near them, where that becomes a possibility, well, then they won't have that as an option. But if someone does put a few units at a very high price in a warehouse near that busy customer who is not price sensitive, they are time sensitive. Remember, they sort the sellers by the order of delivery speed and they see if anyone has it super fast. Amazon could say, hey, yeah, we can have this to you by 5 p.m. this afternoon if you order it now. Those shoppers are out there and they're not being accommodated. That creates a ton, hundreds of thousands, arguably millions of underserved ASINs. That's underserved shelf space at Amazon's warehouse. And if no one's filling that underserved shelf space, well, those busy people with more money than time aren't going to be served by the Amazon marketplace as well as they could have and should have been. And you're going to miss out on a whole bunch of margin. This may sound like a nice theory that doesn't really work in the real world, Jim. Well, here's the deal. Over the past few months, I've provided 150 plus some, I haven't counted recently, it's probably more than that at this point, examples from my personal inventory of products that are selling in real time, way above buy box, in many cases, the highest priced seller on the listing. I'm going to try to address all of your skeptical thoughts that you might have right now, but let's go back to our example, finish wrapping up our example of what I'm looking at on the Keepa chart. And I'm going to address, I'm going to read your mind and try to address some of those skeptical questions you might have. Okay. So let's go back to that Keepa chart. What are the factors we're looking at here? Well, there's, like I said, what did I say, 20 sellers, 50 sellers, I can't remember what I said, a whole bunch of other sellers. It drops about 100 times a month. So it's a fast mover. I don't care how many sellers there are. I want to look at how many FBA sellers there are. If I'm looking for an opportunity to sell a product way above buy box, I want to know how many other FBA sellers there are. Now, if Amazon's all over it, changes the game a little bit because they tend to buy a lot and spread it out across a whole bunch of warehouses. And odds are if somebody wants it really fast, Amazon's going to swoop into their own inventory where they made a deal with the cat litter box company R Us and bought 50,000 units for, you know, half the price you'll ever see. Right. So the opportunity is probably gone on that one. But let's say Amazon kind of comes and goes. Sometimes they have inventory, sometimes they don't. On the Keepa graph, that looks like those little orange vertical bars kind of coming and going. Man, I love to see that for an above buy box opportunity. And please, as a little aside, I'm only talking on this episode today about one specific strategy of dozens of replens strategies that we teach. I'm talking about the above buy box opportunity, the map of the United States, looking at a Keepa chart through that lens. I'm not saying this is the only way. I'm not saying it's the best way. I'm not saying this is what everyone must be doing now. I'm saying if you're new and you're not finding any inventory yet, you really should be taking a shot at this because you'll be blown away at the results that you can begin to see while taking tiny little risks, buying a couple units at a time, sending them in, knowing your worst case scenario is, I'm going to drop the price if it doesn't sell in 6 weeks or so and get all my money back. How do you know that's going to happen? Well, because it's a fast moving product on Amazon. I already said that's one of the prerequisite requirements for you to ever invest. It's a fast mover, and buy box represents about break even for me. So yeah, get all my money back. No big deal. That's my worst case scenario. So what else am I looking at? Let's get back to our Keepa chart. See all those sellers. How many of those sellers are FBA? How many of those sellers are sending inventory into an Amazon warehouse where the possibility begins to exist that a customer who lives near that warehouse could get it delivered to them very rapidly? And the reason I want you to have that visual of the United States in your mind while I talk about this is because it's important for you to realize not everybody is you who lives near the same warehouses that you live nearby. The buy box is different all across the United States, especially for the most popular products. You can do this little test if you want. Maybe you live in the Midwest, call a friend in Seattle and hop on Amazon sometime and just look at some popular ASINs. Like, wait a second, it costs more there than it does here, or it costs more for you than it does for them? That's crazy. I thought the buy box was like this set thing. No, it's different all over the place based on the speed of delivery, based on availability locally. Amazon is good, but they can't get something in 2 hours from Seattle to Miami. They just can't. No one can. Technology doesn't exist to make something travel thousands of miles in just a couple hours for delivering a product to a consumer. But if it's sitting in a warehouse near a consumer and they're willing to pay more and they're given the opportunity to pay more to get that fast delivery, well, they will take Amazon up on that offer and you'll be getting some great margin. So in the real world, what does this look like? How do you start to tap into these? Here's what you're looking for. You're having trouble finding profitable inventory. Let's start finding hundreds of thousands of ASINs that could work, that are worthy of being tested on the strategy that I'm talking about right now. I've given you 150 plus examples in our Facebook group. There'll be a link in the show notes from this episode today that hopefully will encourage you on your journey towards trying this. There's literally no downside. I'll talk about some of the skeptic questions that I've received and address hopefully some of your concerns here in a moment. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to find ASINs that are moving fast, meaning at least 30 to 40 drops per month on a Keepa chart. That's kind of a minimum. You can raise that number if you're a little more risk averse. If you're open to a little more risk, you can lower that number a little, but that's just a good general window that we like to see. Then you want to look how many other FBA sellers are there on this ASIN. I've started introducing this because I started discovering some people are hopping on these fast-moving ASINs where there's a ton of FBA sellers. And some of those FBA sellers have a ton of units that are spread out all over the United States, meaning there's pretty good FBA coverage. There's not a lot of underserved shelf space at the Amazon warehouses. That's the key to this, is there underserved shelf space? After you look at all the factors here, do you kind of think, yeah, there's probably some underserved shelf space? Let's go back to our cat litter box example. Let's say there's all these other sellers. Well, there's only two of them who are FBA sellers. Of those two FBA sellers, one of them has three units and one has two units. Now, on a fast-moving ASIN where there's only two FBA sellers, one has a couple units, the other has a couple units, there's no way Amazon has enough coverage across the entire United States to serve all the people who potentially might want that cat litter box really fast. They just don't have the ability to get it to them fast. So all those customers today are just going to see those two-day delivery options and those three-day delivery options. Maybe there's a few next-day delivery options. If someone happens to live real close to them, you know, there's some FBA sellers that can maybe pull that off. I don't know, but typically not. So the customer who wants that litter box is going to have to wait a couple days, 2 to 4 days. But what if you sent in two units of this product? Just two, a couple of units, priced them at $60, let's say. Amazon's cool with it. Sometimes they have price restrictions on some ASINs, but the vast majority of the time that they don't. So you put it in there at FBA, you send it in, they blast them out to a couple different warehouses, one sitting in Atlanta, one sitting in, you know, I don't know, Columbus, Ohio, let's say. Usually coastal cities. So a couple weeks from now, a very busy person that needs a new cat litter box right in the middle of the city, Columbus, Ohio, and they see that you have one for $60 and they think to themselves, wow, okay, I need this today. I don't want to have to go to the store. I could wait 2 days and save myself $20, but man, this thing's sitting in a warehouse right near me. I think I'm going to go ahead and snag it. I've earned it. I love Mittens. Mittens loves me. She needs a new kitty litter box by this evening. Let's boom, bought. You've just made a ton of margin on an ASIN, serving a very happy customer with a very happy cat, a brand new litter box delivered to their front porch within 2 hours. And there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of ASINs right now that are eligible for you to try this strategy. Selling above buy box is not about fooling a customer into accidentally paying more than they should have. It has nothing to do with it. Customers are smart enough to know there's a list of prices there. They can pick the lowest price if they want to. I've shown in my own Amazon account, I've shown in the Facebook group, which is free. There's a link at silentgym.com. There'll be a link to the post I'm talking about completely free. You can go see for yourself 150 examples from my personal Amazon selling account from the past few months where customers have paid, in many cases, more than any other seller on the ASIN. Very specific example. This was I believe it was a shoe example with this one. Someone paid me $120 for a product where the buy box is about $60 to $70. And all the other sellers are bouncing around $60 to $70. But I had one pair. I think I bought two initially. I had a pair sitting in a warehouse near where someone lived, apparently, because they were willing to pay $120. They had a run tomorrow. They had a race tomorrow or something. They wanted those shoes fast. They paid $120. I was happy to sell it to them. I'm not going to send in 150 units above buy box. No, that's crazy. I'm going to send a few units at a time, which makes this the ideal strategy for new sellers who are struggling to find inventory. I don't want you to go out and buy 10, 50, 100 units of anything. I want you to buy two or three units of ASINs that meet the qualifications that I'm telling you about today. So remember what they were. Let's revisit them. It's a fast-moving ASIN, minimum 30, 40 drops per month on Keepa. There's only a few FBA sellers with very inadequate coverage across the United States and all of Amazon's warehouses, where customers who happen to live near those warehouses might want to order something and get it fast. The buy box represents a price where I could live with having to sell it at that price. I'm not going to take a bath. I'm not going to lose a ton of money sending a couple units and I have to sell it at buy box. That's okay. That's my worst case scenario. If it sits there for 6 weeks, a couple months, no sales happen, drop it down the buy box, it'll sell. How do we know it'll sell? It's a fast moving ASIN. Drop the price, you get rid of it. That's the strategy in a nutshell. I can't emphasize enough. I'm not saying everybody should be doing this, but I am saying if you haven't tried it yet, why not? I'm especially saying if you're saying to me, hey, I can't find anything profitable. Where's all the good inventory? I can't find any good discounts. Everything I look at, everyone else is already selling it for a price that's not profitable for me. You need to look through a different lens. You need to remember that map of the United States. That's the visual I want you to carry with you. Just think about it. It'll make sense to you. Map of the US, hundreds of warehouses. Popular product. Only a few units exist of that popular product across all those hundreds of warehouses. Imagine if a few more units were to be thrown out there. Do you think there's a decent chance that some of the million plus shoppers that live near each one of those warehouses might want it fast as they're looking at that product? The odds are with you. And I'm seeing it happen all day, every day in my account. All right, let's address some of the skeptic issues. Let's go down the list. So one of the popular skeptic challenges that I've received when I presented this concept is people say, well, Jim, you've been selling a while. So Amazon is rewarding you by giving you the sale, even though you're a high price. They're rotating that buy box up to where you are and giving you an advantage because they really like you because you got a good seller review rating and you've been doing this a while. The new guy could never pull this off. Let's talk about that for a second. Basically, what you're saying is Amazon's giving me the buy box, even though I'm at $120 when everyone else is at $60 to $70. Nope, that's not what's happening. It would be showing up on Keepa if that was what's happening. Remember, I've got 150 examples where I show you the Keepa chart. And the nice thing about all those above buy box Keepa examples is I'm selling at a price that's above the buy box. The buy box isn't coming up to me. You'd actually have a pretty decent theory there if the buy box was randomly jumping all the way up to where I was and sales were happening, because Keepa would see that happening. Keepa keeps track of who has the buy box. That's one of the things they do. And they show you history of that. And all the examples I'm showing you, that little pink line is dancing way below where I'm at. I'm not winning the buy box. I'm winning sales with customers who are in a hurry. So you might push back a little bit and go, well, okay. So you're not winning the buy box, Jim, but it's your customer review rating. People are more comfortable paying a lot more money to someone that has, you know, they've had a lot of transactions. And I have no scientific evidence that I could completely refute that argument with, except I could say this. If you were in a hurry and needed something on your front porch and you hadn't studied Amazon metrics and feedback review scores and all that, all you know is Amazon's got these five options for me. One of them can get it to me quickly. As long as that person doesn't have like a, you know, 50% failure rate or something, you know, in that case, they would have been banned from Amazon. No one's looking at the seller feedback score to determine if they want to buy from that customer, or excuse me, buy from that seller or not and get their item fast. No one is. I would guess that 1 out of 1,000 shoppers might go, ooh, that guy has an 87% satisfaction score. I think I'll go with the guy that has a 93% satisfaction score instead. How many people think that way? They just don't. They say, okay, Amazon's responsible for this. Everything else I've ever ordered from Amazon has come pretty stinking close to when they said they'd get it here. Yeah, throw it in the cart, let's go. The vast majority of people do this experiment. Talk to people who shop on Amazon, who've never sold anything and don't know any sellers. And just say, when you buy something from Amazon, who's sending you that product? And I'll say, Amazon is. And you say, well, have you ever noticed there's all those sellers listed down the side? No. Do you want to keep your answer? Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just assuming that's people Amazon's allowed to sell on their platform, but ultimately I'm getting it from Amazon. They're the ones, you know, if I get a refund, it's Amazon giving me the refund. So yeah, it's all coming from Amazon. That's me pushing back. It's not because I've got more review power than you do. Here's my final nail in the coffin of that argument. My reputation score isn't what's happening here. There are many, many ASINs that I'm on. Check this out. Hang with me. Keep your thinking cap on. This is the thinking episode. This is a maybe have to listen to it again episode. I've thought through this stuff a lot. Let's go back to our shoes. That's a real example. So on those shoes that I'm selling, and there's a handful of other sellers bouncing around the buy box, it's about half the price what I'm charging. The sellers who are charging significantly less money than I am, have significantly better review ratings. They've been doing Amazon longer than I have. I'm talking about those guys that have like 180,000 customer review kind of stuff. I'm not there. I'm just not. They have way more, multiple time more reviews, customer reviews than I do. And I've got a good rating. I'm always up in the high 90s or 100%, as were they. But if someone was to just look at the seller metrics and, okay, I'm going to go with the guy who has the highest seller feedback and the best customer rating, and that's the only person I'm going to shop from. They would not have bought from me on many of these above buy box ASINs. So there's that argument in the trash. So what's the final argument you could have? Well, Jim, okay, I see you doing this, but what if you're just like sending in thousands and thousands of tests so that you can get just a little tiny trickle, a handful per day that you post out there for us to review? Like it fails 95% of the time, but sometimes it works and you're just creating this new interesting theory. That's not what we're doing, guys. Because remember, here's what I'm saying. Even if that was the case, which it's definitely not, we have about an 80% success rate on selling at least a few units of our above buy box tests. But let's say your skeptical theory is right. What have you lost? Nothing to try it. Because you're sending in a few test units, knowing that your worst case scenario is you're going to get your money back based on the buy box history. So send in a few. Try it. Try it. Why not? If you're telling me I just can't find anything, this is a great solution for you to try. Find fast-moving ASINs as evidenced by 30 to 40 keep and drops. Look at the number of FBA sellers and think to yourself, is that enough FBA sellers with enough units in stock to cover the whole United States and have a pretty high odds of someone living near a warehouse being able to get it super fast if they want it? If your answer is no, that's not enough FBA sellers with enough inventory to pull that off, send in a couple test units at a high price. Keep an eye on that buy box. Make sure that if you have to drop down to that buy box price, that you're not going to lose a bunch of money. I'm starting to play on some very high-priced ASINs doing this, having a blast, because what I'm discovering is people who are in a hurry, they'll pay a lot of money. They'll pay, I think the highest I've been above buy box and got a sale at this point is about $70 above the buy box. $70 above typical buy box making a sale because someone was in a hurry. They didn't want to wait 2 to 4 business days. They wanted it on their front porch faster than that. And they were willing to pay for it. And I was willing to accommodate. How cool is that? Well, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to give you verbally a couple links that you need to go check out. These are links that are associated with this episode that'll be in the show notes. I've talked about this before, by the way, too. If you go back and listen to podcast episode 554, you can hear the first episode where I kind of broke this down, not as thoroughly as I did now, because I've been paying a lot more attention to my team the past few months on these particular kinds of ASINs. We sell on other kinds of ASINs too. I love being in the buy box and winning nice consistent sales in the buy box. That's beautiful, of course. Some of the ASINs we've discovered, we started off above the buy box. We're selling a few a week. We thought, hey, you know, if we took a hit on our margin and dropped down there close to the buy box, we could speed up the trajectory of this ASIN and sell a whole lot more units. So we did. That's great. I love those. That's beautiful. Lots of fun. It's a good way to discover those ASINs. But I really like wading in, knowing my worst case scenario is I can wade right back out, kind of testing the waters. It's kind of like fishing with a lure instead of fishing with live bait. You can reel that lure right back in. You throw that $5 bill out there, nothing happens. You reel that $5 bill back in. When you're using live bait, sometimes it falls off the hook, fish hits it, you don't get anything, right? It's a good fishing analogy for the above buy box. Above buy box is the equivalent of using line that can't break, fishing line that can't break on a lure that can't be destroyed or get snagged or lost, and you just tossing it out there. What are you going to lose? Just reel it back in, right? That's the strategy. So here's the two links I have for you. Go to silentgym.com/BB70. BB as in buy box. BB, the number 7, the number 0. It's only 4 digits long. BB70. And that's a link right to our free Facebook group. You may have to join the group first. That link won't work until you do. Completely free. Jump in. And it's going to show you the dozens and dozens and dozens of examples at this point. I think I put up 4 examples just yesterday of sales that are happening in real time in my account. There's no overlap. I may have accidentally once or twice shown the same ASIN a couple different times if something interesting happened, but this is completely different examples with everyone that I show, completely free, just encouraging you to get out of that malaise of, I can't find anything to test. There's no profitable inventory. I scanned a bunch of barcodes and none of them show profit. You're not doing it right, dude. You got to think a little more than that. It's not just about buying something for $5 because it was on sale and I can sell it for $20, but they only had 3 of them. That's the old eBay model. That's a treadmill. It's a beautiful way to add icing to the cake, but that's not going to build you a beautiful business that can sustain and grow, building systems, building an asset that could possibly be passed on to someone else someday. Getting into replens is that, though. That's where we're heading. You know, at scale, the business I just described at scale can turn into a multiple 7-figure business that can be managed by anyone. You've met Kang Dang. He was on our podcast episode a couple times recently as well with an update on the system, silentgym.com/thesystem, all one word. Go check out what we've got for you there. We're starting to roll it out to our coaching students. That's a multiple 7-figure business run by a piece of software that manages the whole process. Kang just checks his statistics when he feels like it. That's his role in his business. That's it. His team runs it. A couple people in his warehouse, a couple virtual assistants, multiple 7-figure business, super high profit margins. That's what this replens model can become. He's not even added in aggressively all the other options we have around here, wholesale, branded bundles. He's starting to get into those things, but he's just doing online arbitrage replens. That's it. And it can scale. So here's the other link. I promised you 2 links. The other one is the exact settings in Keepa, where you can go and see hundreds of thousands of ASINs that look like what I just described. Fast moving ASIN, not very many FBA sellers, potential for a buy box to be within range where you can break even. Now, I don't have any idea what you're actually going to spend on your inventory. I can't do that for hundreds of thousands of ASINs, but I can give you a list of them and you can scroll through and go, I wonder what it would cost for me to source that product. And you go look, Google it. Look on your favorite shopping sites, find it, go, okay, I can buy it for $20 there. It's selling for $42 on Amazon in the buy box. That's about break even for me. And it's a fast mover with not very many FBA sellers. I think I'm going to send a couple test units above buy box at say $54. That's a nice profit margin if I sell one or two of those a month and then go find a few dozen more ASINs that look like that. They are everywhere and there's more of them every day, not less of them. There's more of them every single day. So from now on, when people say, oh, I can't find anything profitable to sell on Amazon, send them to this podcast episode. Hopefully it'll encourage them to experiment around with this super low risk, super exciting, so fun to watch. It's great to see sales popping in all day, every day. Today alone, I'm just going to check and see. I'll give you the number here. I'm looking up how many above buy box sales have I made so far today? We've made about 8 above buy box sales so far today. That's pretty cool. That's fun. It's great getting on there and seeing that, hey, I'm the highest priced seller on this agent and I just made a sale. It's a blast. Hopefully you'll jump in and experiment with it. Hey, I got one last freebie for you since I'm in the mood for freebies. You may have heard me talk about this before. If you're a fan of the show, you've been around a while. How about a free book? The book that launched this community, actually. It's called Silent Sales Machine. That's the name of the book. That's the name of the podcast too, if you hadn't noticed. Get over to silentgym.com/free11. The word free, F-R-E, the number 1. Free 11. That's a free copy of the 11th update of the book that started this community. And here's what that book's going to do for you. It's going to break down all the possible opportunities that we've identified, the legitimate opportunities that are out there. There's only really 3 categories of opportunity on the internet. Did you know that? We've identified those 3. We break it down. And then we say, okay, where are you at? What makes the most sense for you? Where should you start? Let's get you going in the right direction. That's what that book does for you. It's a great shove in the right direction. Keeps you from going off a cliff, doing anything stupid, tells you what all the suckers are falling for, wasting their time, money, and energy on stuff that doesn't work. What are the legitimate opportunities? Where do you see yourself fitting into that landscape? That's what that book will do for you. So if you're not sick of looking at me on the screen yet, you can do that with the book, or you can just listen to the audio version, but it's going to talk you through that process. Hopefully you find it of great value. God bless you, business building warrior. We're in your corner. If you're listening to the show, if you're in our community, please know that you're prayed for. I see entrepreneurship as a pillar of our culture that is under attack, and we need support. We need encouragement. We need to be there for each other. You need to gather in community. That's what we offer around here. You are supported, loved, respected, and admired here. We think what you're doing is awesome, and we want to be a part of helping make it happen for you and your family. I'll have another great episode for you very soon. God bless till then.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentgym.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.